heard the call, he felt God saying, go, move, move, do something. And he didn't ask how, or God, I don't have, or, you know, what do I have? You know, when God called Moses, Moses is getting all defensive. He's saying, oh, I can't go, I can't go, I can't go. And God just asked him, what do you have in your hand? He says, I got a staff. Well, throw it down. I'll show you something. What do you have in your hand? And we, as the church in the West, we have a lot in our hands. When you think about the church worldwide, we have a lot in our hands. And if we, you know, God's purpose in this world is going to be fulfilled. It's going to be. You know, he has said that, the gospel will be preached to every tribe, tongue, and nation, and then the end will come. Every tribe, tongue, and nation in the world is going to hear the gospel. Our uninvolvement, our involvement or uninvolvement won't stop his plans. Our standing on the sidelines, he's still going to do what he's going to do. But we'll miss out on the blessing of being a part of it. Now, the wonderful thing, though, is, you know, even in our name, we have Bible First Mission Church. So our church is involved. We're trying to be very active in giving to missions. In fact, our board just voted a few weeks ago to increase the amount of money that we give away to missions. We said, you know what? We can do more. Let's do more. So praise God that we're doing something. And yet, I want, you know, not just as us as a corporate church, but us as individuals asking ourselves, is God calling me to something? And if he is, am I willing to obey? And even as I'm saying that, I feel like you know what it is. I feel like God has been speaking to hearts. He's been talking to us. Whether it's about sharing the gospel with someone. Whether it's about getting out of a sinful situation. Maybe there's something, a good thing that we've made an ultimate thing. And God is calling us to give it up. And just like the opening illustration, all right. This affects us, and it requires movement. Now, I don't believe that we're saved by works, okay? I believe that we're saved by the grace of God. Praise Jesus. We're saved by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. But at the same time, if we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of everything, Lord of our lives, then, man, that has implications for our everyday life. It's not just like believing there are volcanoes on the moon on Jupiter. All right. It's not at all like that. Sometimes that's how we think of faith in God. You know, we ask people, do you believe in God? Yes or no. And they'll say, well, yes. But the God of their life is like that moon surrounding Jupiter with volcanoes on it. Now, again, I don't actually know if there's a moon surrounding Jupiter with volcanoes on it. I'm making that up as an illustration. But they treat it like that, like it's some distant reality. God is some distant reality who has nothing to do with the running of their day-to-day life. And that's not the picture of the God of the Bible that we get at all. He is so intimately involved in our lives. He is so interested in our lives. And because we have a faith in a God like that, yes, he saves us by grace. Yes, it's not our own works, but faith and obedience go hand in hand. Faith and obedience, they go hand in hand. We can't separate one from the other. It's just like finding out that this mountain's going to blow. You're going to move if you believe that. You're not going to stay in the same place. If you stay in the same place, you're either very sick or you don't believe the report. But if you believe the report and you are of sound mind, you're going to get out of the way of the flowing lava. In the same way, if you believe in a God like we have here in the Bible, a God who calls us further, who calls us to be his servants, you're going to move. You're going to take that step. And we might resist him for a while. But when we resist, we're the ones who are missing out. We're not robbing God of anything. God's not sitting up in heaven saying, oh my goodness, if only Eric would finally obey, then my plan in the world could be fulfilled. No. We're the ones who miss out. We're the ones who sideline ourselves and say, no, I don't want to play. And when we don't get in the game, we don't even enjoy the glory of the victory. God invites us to join him in this victory. This was a promise of blessing to Barak. Barak, his name actually means blessing. So it was a promise from the day he was born. He was destined for this. You know, you're destined for this blessing. And yet because of his unbelief, he sidelines himself. And in the same way, sometimes we can do that to ourselves. We sideline ourselves, pull ourselves off. So today I have a challenge for us. Has God spoken a word to you? Perhaps you've been reading his word, and as you're reading his word, you see standards that don't line up, that in your life is not living up to those standards. And you're saying, man, God, I need to move. And maybe you just push it down, you ignore it. That applies to other people, not to me. Maybe it's standards for what God wants us to live by. Maybe it's salvation. Maybe God is tugging at your heart saying, put your faith in me. Believe in me. Maybe it's sharing the good news with a neighbor. God's been placing a neighbor on your heart or somebody you know on your heart over and over and over again. And you just say, no, 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 somebody else, somebody else, somebody else. Maybe it will be somebody else. But you'll miss out on the blessing of seeing God move through you to bring the gospel to somebody. Maybe God's calling you to give in a way that you've never given before. I don't know. I don't know what God is speaking to your heart. But I'd encourage you, don't try and bargain with God. When God says give or give it up, just do it. It'll be so much better for you. Believe me. His boundaries, the Psalms say, your boundaries have fallen for me in pleasant places. You know, God is, he is dedicated to our joy. He really is. God is so dedicated to our joy. We're much less dedicated to our joy than he is. Because we're content to seek after little things when he wants us to have himself, who is the ultimate joy. That's why he's so dedicated to our joy. He says, seek me first above everything else, and you'll be as joyful as you could possibly be. You will be a people characterized by joy. But we are, C.S. Lewis says, we're people of little passions. We focus on sex and drink and money. We're content with these things, like children making mud pies in a puddle because they have no concept of what a holiday at the beach is like. You know, you come to a child and you say, hey, I want to take you to the beach. And this kid has grown up in the slums and he has no idea what is the beach. And he's just playing in his little puddle, making his mud pie. And that's a picture of us fooling around with all the things that we think are going to make us happy when God himself, he offers himself to bring us joy. Guys, if the Lord is tugging at your heart today, lay it down and don't pick it back up. Lay it down at God's feet. Take that step. Do what he's calling you to do. Maybe you need to talk to somebody about it. Kind of figure out, okay, is this actually God or is this just like bad pizza? All right. And figure out, what am I actually hearing from God? You know, open up to somebody else in the church as a sounding board. You know, that's not a bad idea. Sometimes we would be saved a lot of heartache if we just shared with others what we feel God is telling us to do. Ask, does this sound like something God would ask one of his children to do? And you might get a yes, you might get a no. Who knows? But you know, let's be open about it. Let's stand together. Let's pray. God, this is a heavy word. Lord, we thank you that you have made it so simple for us to come to you, to be cleansed by you, God. That all we need to do is confess our sins, proclaim that Jesus is Lord, and believe it in our hearts. And that you will come to us and you will cleanse us, God. Thank you that you've made it so easy, even a child can understand it. And yet, God, sometimes as we're walking with you, you bring us to these moments where you call us to something more. You call us to step out in faith, believing that you are a God who provides, a God who does miracles, a God worthy of all of our attention and all of our praise. And you want to cleanse our hearts from idols. As we heard about this morning in Sunday school, that you say, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those whose hearts have one focus. And that is God himself. And so, Lord, we ask that you would make our hearts single focused. And that, Lord, when we hear you speaking to us, when we hear you calling us, come and follow me, that we would leave our nets behind. The things that entangle us, the things that are, whatever it might be, whether it's our, God, you know what it is. But those nets, God, I pray that you would help us to cast off those nets, to leave them behind, to come and follow you, to find you in the place where you dwell, to draw near to you, God. God, I pray that as you speak to each one of our hearts, Lord, you would give us courage to act. Give us courage to act and sensitivity to hear what your Spirit is speaking to us. Make us sensitive, Lord. Help us not to have hardened hearts. But as it says in Hebrews, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today. God, tomorrow is past and we don't have the future yet. We only have today. And so, Lord, help us to obey today. Not to put it off and say, oh, someday I'll get rid of this. Someday I'll give this up. But Lord, help us to just lay it at your feet today. And to walk forward from this day forth. God, we thank you that you invite us to be a part of your plan of salvation here in the earth. What a privilege. And God, we pray that we would not, that we would have faith, that we would believe you, and that we would not sideline ourselves based on unbelief. God, I thank you that a willing and a contrite heart you won't despise. You won't sideline us. But we'll sideline ourselves. God, I thank you that through your word we get such encouragement that those who have been marginalized, those who society says have nothing to offer, Lord, those are the people that you delight to use. God, I thank you that in our weakness, your strength is made perfect. That we carry around within ourselves this treasure of the gospel in earthen vessels, weak, plain, unextraordinary vessels, carrying around the treasure of the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to share that with everyone. God, I pray now that you would bless the food downstairs, bless our time of fellowship, bless our conversations, Lord. May we grow together in unity as the body of Christ. That if someone among us is hurting, that we would encourage. If someone among us just needs encouragement to step out in faith, that we would bring that encouragement, Lord. That we would lift one another up in prayer. Lift each other up to the Father. And that confessing our sins to one another, that we would be healed. Lord, that we wouldn't cover up and pretend that everything is okay on the surface when really it's not. God, make us a people who are vulnerable with each other and vulnerable with you. Thank you for all this in your name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you need prayer this morning, or if you just want to come up and pray by yourself, you're welcome to come on up. Sometimes it helps to take that step and go to the altar and, you know, lay it down at the altar and say, I'm done with this. I'll walk out of here different. So thank you all for coming, and we'll see you guys downstairs.